Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So we got a big concern in the country right now.
Yeah.
And the vice president is on it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have massive protests out there with, you know, genocidal chants like From the River to the Sea and Infitada Forever and whatnot, there's a huge problem that's been exposed when it comes to anti-Semitism.
Way worse than any of us knew.
Vice President Kamala Harris, though, announced the formation of a new task force targeting what is apparently an even bigger threat.
Okay.
For years, Muslims in America and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. As a result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, we have seen an uptick in anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic incidents.
Okay, stop there for a second. You know, that first part?
And those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks.
Compared to what? Compared to who? Jewish people?
Yeah,
stats don't bear that out.
No,
not even close, actually.
Not even close.
No, not even
close. It's a flat-out lie.
No, that's a lie.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
Across America. And so today, I am proud to announce the Biden-Harris administration will develop our nation's first national strategy to counter Islamophobia. This strategy will be a comprehensive and detailed plan to protect Muslims and those perceived to be Muslim from hate, bigotry, and violence, and to address the concern that some government policies may discriminate against Muslims. For example, the so-called Muslim ban, which President Biden revoked on our first day in office.
What Muslim ban? There was no Muslim ban.
There wasn't.
They still
call it that.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm hearing this for the first time, and I don't recall ever there being a Muslim ban. What is she talking about?
What they called the Muslim ban was a restriction on refugee resettlement from certain nations, and those nations were Muslim majority, but they were also
terrorist hotbeds.
Yeah, nations of concern, as pointed out by both the Bush and Obama administrations before the Trump administration.
Right.
So as Trump brought it out, they called it the Muslim ban.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
This is like Don't Say Gay.
Yeah, the Don't Say Gay bill.
Right. Okay, got it.
That's how they abused the language. And then completely represent something that isn't true. And people just go along with it. Because then you have legacy media parroting the same talking points.
Got it. I understand now. I didn't get it when I first heard it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I'll just say this. And it's been a while since I've even thought about it. But as far as Islamophobia, what is that exactly? What are the examples of it?
Well,
in other words, if I say to you right now, what's the proof of anti-Semitism out there right now?
Oh, gosh. Every college campus?
You can go with the demonstrations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can make a list, David.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You had that evil idiot in Illinois that kills that six-year-old kid. We know that story. Outside of that, where are all the threats to Muslims across the country?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, I don't see a whole lot of people gathering in the streets waving Israeli flags saying, kill all the Palestinians. I see a lot of people waving the Palestinian flag saying, kill all the Israelis.
Yes. But do you see that in reverse anywhere?
No.
No, because it doesn't exist. If it did, you would have the examples.
Well, what this is cleanup, because, you know, earlier this week and just yesterday we talked about this, where Muslim advocacy groups and Democrats were threatening to withhold support from Joe Biden or any congressional or Senate candidate who didn't call for a ceasefire immediately. And, well, the Biden administration didn't go along with it, really. So now they send Kamala Harris out there to sort of say, see, we're still thinking about you, Muslim group. We're still thinking about you.
Yeah. And that's why those groups threaten in the way they do, because they get results. And that was the result.
Yeah.
Her going out there and parading that at this time. It's beyond, man. I mean, just when you think you're not going to be surprised anymore because you kind of know who these people are. For her to come out and have the feature be, we've got to fight Islamophobia, is something I did not expect. I'll admit it. I couldn't have seen that happening. Like, really? Right now?
Well, if you notice the temperature change with the wording and the messaging that was coming out when the big push came, when people were yelling at Biden, yelling at Blinken, I mean, the pressure on the White House to all of a sudden sort of shift their gears a little bit, maybe change the messaging some, maybe to mollycoddle over here.
He said he was going to be behind Israel, and the United States will be behind Israel. We've got your back.
It's not a ceasefire.
Now
it's a pause.
And forever.
It's a pause, which is the same thing.
It's people who don't stand on principles.
Well, no.
It really is. Lick your finger, put it up. Which way is the wind blowing? Okay, yep, we got to fight Islamophobia. It's disgusting. People are disgusting, man. Okay, and then I didn't see any of the legacy outlets have this story about Hamas, David.
No. Well, on the online versions, they did. I don't know about the broadcast side of things, but it's sort of getting lost in the noise, I think, of everything else. But UN officials say that hospitals in Gaza are running very low on fuel. That's one of the reasons why there are advocacy groups calling for a ceasefire or a pause or whatever. However, now we learn that they've got at least that Hamas has at least 200,000 gallons of fuel for rockets to fire into Israel, or to fuel rockets to, you know, try to kill people in Israel. And also for generators that provide clean air and electricity to the underground tunnels. So Hamas is saying, no, UN, other aid groups, you need to come in and help care for the Palestinians. We need this gas. And in fact, apparently, they have also been trying to get hospitals to give some diesel up their warfare abilities.
Yes. Israel released the phone call with a Hamas leader. Tell them, hey, we need that fuel from the hospital. Give it over. What's the hospital going to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Give it over, or basically you get shot. That's their choice. Hamas runs the whole thing. So when we have our Secretary of State out there, Blinken, we need to give all of this aid. Now, we know there might be some spillage. They call it spillage.
Yeah.
Some of the money may end up in Hamas's hands. What?
Mess with the language. Yep.
No, they're going to get as much as they want. Oh, we're going to make sure it gets to the right place. Yeah. Of course you are.
How are you going to do that?
Real trustworthy guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Switching gears. You know, we have heard about a lot of different walkouts, you know, high schools and, of course, universities demanding peace, because you got kids that don't understand, well, basically anything, but certainly not the Middle East. Okay. There was one walkout yesterday that's not getting national news, getting some local news in Virginia, and that's Loudoun County. And if you don't mind, we'll just go to ABC 7. They're on your side.
They're on my side?
Yes, I'm not joking about that.
Wow.
Of course. Who had the local report there.
Students at Woodgrove High School walked out in protest of the Loudoun County School Board's policy that allows non-binary, gender-fluid, and transgender students to use the school bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice.
In the locker rooms in the morning, it's an invasion of privacy, as I said, because when men and natural-born males are in our locker rooms and they are showering in the morning, natural-born females can walk in there as they please and as they want to do so, and that is not okay, and it goes against what we believe in.
Yeah, these kids! They're saying, stop it. We need boys' restrooms, locker rooms, girls' restrooms, locker rooms. It's taking the kids to do that now. And the report goes on, and I want to get to the place where they talk to the young lady.
In 2021, the Loudoun County School Board voted 9-3 to adopt the district-wide policy known as Policy 8040. These students have had enough, and they want the policy reversed.
Is this uncomfortable, you think, for students here, this policy that allows non-binary and transgender students to use the locker rooms and bathrooms of their choice?
Very uncomfortable.
I want to be able to, when I get off from football practice, to go put my pads away and change with not feeling uncomfortable with other genders in there watching me. Especially, I feel the girls should feel the same way about the situation.
Well, they do.
How would you feel if you're a female changing with a male in the restroom?
It's a massive safety risk, and they don't do anything about it, and we express these concerns, and they ignore us and write us off as right-wing crazies. We're not crazy. We just don't want to be in danger on a daily basis in this building.
Because that's the same district, you know. Somebody got raped.
Oh, yeah.
You know, actually, when the voice of reason comes from a 16-year-old girl, I mean, and these dopey idiot lawmakers.
Oh, yeah.
And the push on that side, this is easy to understand. This is ridiculous.
Well, they have the mind virus.
They do.
They're more than two genders. Then we have to be inclusive.
No, we don't.
No.
And we're not going to.
No, people need to stand up. I'm glad they are. You wonder what's going to happen with those kids at that school, too. But I'm brave of them to stand up and say, yeah, we're walking out.
Homeschool them.
Oh, by the way, the other part of that story, there were teachers telling them, please do not walk out. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that. Threatened from teachers.
Okay, blue hair.
Keep an eye on that one. Someone is loving Bidenomics. David, who is it?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are suffering under Bidenomics, and even some restaurants are suffering because they've had to increase their menu prices. Fewer people are going there because everybody knows with inflation, they've gone backwards and maybe they're not eating out as much. Mm-hmm. However, for one company, Bidenomics has been great, and that is for Taco Bell.
Really?
Taco Bell is seeing a 2-3% growth in the number of orders across all income levels, which is different from every other restaurant in the industry right now.
That's amazing.
More and more people are going to the Bellhole because it's cheap. You can get like 7 pounds of food for like $4.
You have been one to defend Taco Bell.
Yes.
For a long time, David.
I am a true believer in the power of the Bellhole.
That's very good.
I'm a branch Bellholian. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, as we probably mentioned a few times before, it's one of those things where it would have been all fine and good until I knew someone that worked there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the shine comes off, but then you try to get over that in time.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, the little dog.
Yeah, you miss the little dog, don't you?
I do miss the little dog.
You want to come back?
Yo quiero.
You ought to adopt that dog.
Hola.
Of course. All right, much to get to. Oh, buddy. I can't wait for Scott Robbins to go off on the next story. You got to hear this next. The holiday season is all about family, and it's a good time to remind ourselves of how important our responsibility is to protect the ones we love.
That includes planning to secure their future.
Life insurance is an easy way to give your family peace of mind.
It provides a safety net, so if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet.
With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage.
Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams.
Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs.
They work for you, not the insurance companies.
That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Your family deserves peace of mind. A life insurance policy through Policy Genius can give it to them.
Head to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much money you could save.
That's PolicyGenius.com.
That's PolicyGenius.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use a symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I've been taking Nutrafol for about a year.
I've been taking Nutrafol just over 4.5 years.
My hair was thinning.
I just gave birth. I was under a lot of stress.
I like Nutrafol because it's drug-free and the number one dermatologist recommends a hair growth supplement.
My hair feels thicker.
Stronger.
The breakage is less.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Thank you for being here. Do appreciate it. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. cracking up because I see this guy in the news, and I can't wait to hear what Robbins has to say. Big fan.
Who's okay. That?
Well, little pencil neck Adam Schiff.
Oh, yeah. God. Adam Schiff. And I think one of the key takeaways for me is that, boy, you know, in politics and media, you really never have any friends. Because CNN, of all places, which did a lot of water carrying for Adam Schiff during the whole Russian collusion hoax against Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Has published this report that his primary residence is actually in Maryland, and it has been for quite some time. Now, he represents a district in California, and he's running to be senator. Of California, replacing Dianne Feinstein. But he's got a big, like, 3,400 square foot home in Maryland that he's lived at for years. They've talked about it where, well, you know, I didn't want to be apart from my family that long, so we moved the whole family over here. But he does have a 650 square foot condo in Burbank, California. So basically, he's got this tiny little, you know, condo, yeah. One-bedroom condo that he says is his primary residence so that he's eligible to stay in the House of Representatives and run for Senate. But he really lives in Maryland.
Wow. Okay, so here's my question. One, will the voters in California figure this out?
They don't care.
That was
they don't care.
That was the second
no,
part.
No, they'll vote for him. He can live on Mars. They don't care. They don't care. He does their bidding.
Well, not our friends in California, but you're talking about the masses.
I'm talking about the masses that keep reelecting this jackass time after time after time.
Wow.
And you know, you just know, this guy played right field and was picked last his entire life. He gets his pound of flesh by having some sort of powerful position within government now.
Yeah, I suppose.
He's that guy. He's the profile. Look at him.
Okay. Right. More on that later. Man, you got to tell me. I'm going to switch gears to this story. They're going to have to make this right. I can't believe there won't be a lawsuit at some point. Did you hear about this dude in Utah? His name is Caleb Wood. Ordered through Grubhub.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah. Wanted Chick-fil-A. So yeah. It's a sandwich meal, fries, milkshake. But he goes to take a drink from the milkshake. It's not the milkshake. It's... pee.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
The driver
in his mouth. He drank it. Is, oh,
the driver, to save time.
Oh, God.
Doesn't take restroom breaks. He keeps like styrofoam cups in there.
Oh. Yeah.
And will whiz into the cup. Okay. You know what? I'll just let this dude tell you because it has him confronting the guy as he comes back and then telling the story of what Grubhub has offered. Okay, let's roll that audio.
Did you confuse the cups? Because, like, yeah. Dude, this is, it's half full of pee.
Refunded a portion of the order. I think it costs, like, $25.
and they refunded $18. The actual cost of the food, they didn't refund like the delivery fee or the tip.
What?
Unbelievable.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well, not to victim blame here, but you would feel the pee kind of sloshing around in that cup, right?
David, you put the straw in. You grab the cup. It's right to the mouth. It's not like you're trying to somehow figure, is this sloshy, whatever. You're just thirsty.
The weight is different, though. Like, well, I know the difference between the heft.
Victim blaming on this?
I'm just saying. Let's say it's water. I know the difference between a cup full of water and a cup full of ice cream.
Next take from Van Camp.
I reckon it tastes pretty good to me.
What is that? This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin show. Man.
What?
I haven't really thought that much about, I think I will, all of my life, I've put my hands on the cup or my hand on the cup and put it to my mouth. I've never thought, this might feel a little different.
But he said it was half full, though. You wouldn't notice that? Like, hey, it's kind of it feels like it's all melted. And then, two, it just feels lighter than it should.
I don't know the context of exactly where the cup was. I'm just saying, man, your first go-to is, how did you not know it was Whiz?
Well, yeah, you not know it wasn't a milkshake and then sniff it and, like, what is this?
All right.
Golly,
this debate will continue.
Okay,
Biden calls for a pause from Israel. Straight ahead. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So Biden calls for a pause.
Yeah, and I don't think this was a really well thought out policy announcement. I think it was because some activist interrupted him during a fundraiser and started screeching, saying that I think there is some gender nonconforming person who referred to themselves as a rabbi, saying you must call for a ceasefire, and then Biden says, yeah, maybe a pause for humanitarian aid to go in.
Not tonight, the thing. Yeah. Whatever.
No one, not done. The history books will note it.
Oh, God. Boy, media's run with it though.
Yeah, right.
Biden calls for a pause.
Yeah. I'm looking it up. It was funny too. You can tell which side most media really are on.
Yes,
it's like they were uncomfortable in reporting what happened, the atrocities that happened on October 7th, but they knew they had to report on them. And now that it's progressed, their progressive default has come back. That okay, we need to start really being all from the river to the sea again. And the first mention I saw of this, Joe Biden calls for a pause. I really was looking for a press release or an official policy statement that had been put out there. It was an off-the-cuff remark that I found.
But it was something that media wanted.
Right.
Because, let's face it, they get their marching orders. It's not the individual reporters. They get their marching orders.
Yep.
And then they got them and they ran with it. Again, I thought it was, as far as the official word from the White House was, hey, we're not going to tell Israel how to fight this. We're there to support. And then all of a sudden it's calling for a pause. It went from they make the decisions. We don't make their decisions for them. But I guess that wasn't working. So as Biden says this, they pick it up. I don't know. Don't know how it works. But still, can't believe that you had the vice president out there saying, big issue we got right now is Islamophobia.
Right.
We got to fight against it. There have been many Jewish people in America talking about how unreal it is to them, what they're seeing around them. One of those people, co-host of Jeopardy, I always butcher the name, Mayim Bialik,
yeah.
She went on social media to explain, I guess, how she's feeling right now, but I thought this was well done. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
All right, just get your reaction. Here we go.
Imagine if there was a massacre of an ethnic group or a religious group, the equivalent of 50,000 Americans. And imagine if what happened after that was that all over the world, there were marches of tens of thousands of people calling for further massacre. It's unimaginable, and that's what it feels like right now as a Jewish person. No matter if you know the history of the establishment of the State of Israel, no matter if you know the history of the Jewish experience for thousands of years, including the history before Islam, there has not been an experience in my lifetime that has prepared me for this.
Yeah. Scared to take her kids to school. It's sad. And what's disgusting to me is the way media is treating it, because they will not mention anti-Semitism now without Islamophobia.
In the same breath. Yeah.
Yeah, threats against both. Right.
Yes.
I've seen credible threats against Jewish people. Where are the other credible threats? If they're out there, they should show them. I haven't seen them.
Well, if they're out there, they would lead the nightly newscast.
Yeah. The one example was the tragedy against that six-year-old boy in Illinois. That's the one example that keeps getting leaned on, which certainly that was a tragedy, obviously. That was horrific. Guy murdered him because he was Palestinian or his mother was Palestinian. I mean, that's awful. But as far as a widespread thing, I have not seen any evidence of it. And to Scott's point, you're absolutely right. If it was something, if there were a bunch of people marching in the streets saying, kill everyone in Gaza, then there would be outrage. We would see it every single day.
No, man, and we'll get to this a little bit later, because like at NBC, and this is the way they package it together, Miguel Armiguer, one of our favorites, talking about threats on both sides.
Oh, yeah, but it's a both-sidism. Yep.
So then the visual are five different, like, newspaper clippings that are just posted up, and it's on screen for, like, a second and a half, and they're, you know, anti-Semitic, threat against Jews. And then it has the headline of the tragedy with the six-year-old boy. And then it has another threat against Jewish people. And then the other one says, some Muslims in America feel threatened like they did after 9/11, but it's no real example of a threat.
Yeah,
and that's how they do that. So it's not real. It's just people are feeling a certain way, so they're going to put that headline, but the headline is not like the others.
Well, we saw that the same thing with the rise of like white national terrorist movements or whatever. Where it's like they never really give any examples, any concrete examples of where this horrible threat of white supremacists are. And I remember saying at the time when they were really high on that narrative, like, tell me, and I'll talk about it. I'll fight it. What do you want me to do about it? I just don't see the examples.
Nope, not at all. But they don't have them because it doesn't exist, and we all know it. All right, we gotta move on. Other things. It's that time of the show. Going around the table may not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention today, David. What's your story?
Did you see? I'm sorry. I think I'm gonna switch gears. Never mind. Well, okay. I just see this. John Carl has a new book coming out about Donald Trump's influence on the GOP ahead of the 2024 election. The Atlantic published an essay from Carl that was adapted from excerpts of the book. And there is one anecdote that just made me laugh. The trial date for the Stormy Daniels hush money case was set during a hearing with a judge where Trump appeared via video from a room in Mar-a-Lago. For most of the appearance, Trump silently listened, his microphone on mute. But when the judge announced the court date, March 25th, 2024, he reacted angrily, waving his hands and shaking his head. No one in the courtroom could hear him, but he appeared to be yelling at the lawyer sitting next to him in Mar-a-Lago. According to a source there with Trump, the former president erupted at the lawyer because this is a crucial point in the presidential campaign. He yelled, and I quote, "That's in the middle of the primaries. If I lose the presidency, you're going to be the reason." And then he called him a little effer. Well, "You're going to cost me the presidency," he yelled at his own lawyer. I just got distracted because I see the headline where, "You little bleeper, Trump blew up at his own lawyer after judge sets New York trial date."
Don't be stupid.
Okay, it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Scott, what is your story for What's Your Story?
Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is reportedly very angry. She's mad. She's mad at a Superior Court judge who released a 15-year-old carjacking suspect rather than holding her in a facility pending her trial on separate robbery charges. The unidentified minor was sent home pending her trial on robbery charges. Days later, after being sent home, was involved with a group of girls that carjacked rideshare drivers on Thursday.
Really?
The teen's half-sister, as a matter of fact, was crashed the car and died. Bowser slammed the judge's decision, having sent the girl home, rather than hold her, according to the report. "In my opinion, you've been arrested for the seventh time for carjacking." That's true. Seven times.
How many times do you have to be arrested for carjacking to actually spend a good amount of time in jail?
It is very interesting to me that the BLM marches, defund the police type Muriel Bowser, now all of a sudden goes, "Well, we got a problem here.
Wow.
These judges are corrupt."
In fairness to Muriel Bowser, she was not on board with the defund the police stuff.
Okay. Thank you, David, for clearing that up.
You know what? I wouldn't have remembered that.
I wouldn't have either. I just assumed she was because she's Muriel Bowser and she's in D.C.
Yeah, the city council very much was. But if you remember their whole, like, legalizing crime bill that Congress actually had to step in and say no to, she vetoed it. And the people who are even further left than her overrode the veto. And then because of the way D.C. works, Congress does have a say in local ordinances. And they said, "No, try again. You're not
okay.
You're not doing this."
She was supportive of the rallies, but not the defund the police.
But not defund the police.
Right, right, right. Because they were, no one could gather. Churches couldn't gather.
No.
But as far as the BLM protests, they were fighting a virus of a different kind.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, this is, they start to eat themselves at some point in time.
Yeah.
They always do. And you've got these judges in these cities like this that are going, seven times you carjack, seven times.
Yeah.
And by the way, they release you, and then you do the next day, you're doing it again.
See it again and again.
Could it be that there's no consequences, that perhaps a behavior repeats itself? I don't know.
For my story today, Justin Trudeau. I don't know if you guys have seen this story. Sometimes I just like the element of surprise. And if you've already seen it, did you see his kid's Halloween costume? Anybody?
I did.
Didn't see it, David?
No, I didn't. Was he in blackface?
I'm sending it to you right now because you won't believe it. His son dressed as himself beheaded. You know, one of those costumes where your head like comes out of where the chest would be and it looks like you're holding your own head and then... Well, it goes up to mock shoulders and then the start of a neck where your head would have been chopped off.
Yeah.
At this time in the world, that's a good Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's not.
He's getting ripped from everybody on this. And I mean, my goodness, he should be. Because the thing is, if it was just the kid dressing that way, I guess it would be one thing where he should say, "Hey, read the room right now, kid. You can't do that." That was it. He put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, with a quote saying, was it, "Hadrian seems to have misplaced something, but that's not going to stop him from trick-or-treating."
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. To me, I think if that's just somebody in my neighborhood, I look at it and I don't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're a leader of a country... And we've got this whole big global conversation about what just happened in Israel less than a month ago. Yeah, I don't know if having your kid pretend to be beheaded is the best look.
You should have dressed like his grandpa.
Fidel Castro.
With the fatigues and a cigar and a little hat, yeah.
I hate to bring up Justin Trudeau without him talking about LGBTQ. I really do. I think we got to do that.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
Yeah.
In your words, Scott, that's his stairway.
It is.
That's his greatest accomplishment. What is this Alphabet Mafia thing again? What is it? Yeah, whatever.
Well,
I'll never stop standing up for y'all.
Greatest impersonation of Joe Biden I've heard ever.
Uh-oh. A museum cancels an Islamic art exhibit? Uh-oh. That and much more coming up.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use a symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hey. Have you ever been ripped off? It sucks. Having a daily reminder of it is even worse. If you shave with a well-known big razor brand every morning, you might be thinking more about how much you paid for the blades than about how smooth your shave is. I'm Andy, the founder of Harry's. We give you a high-quality shave and an expertly engineered product for a fraction of the price that the big guys charge, with no compromises. They have five blades, Harry's has five blades. They have a lubricating strip, Harry's has a lubricating strip for extra glide. They have a trimmer blade. Harry's has a trimmer blade for the hard-to-reach areas. They charge up to $4 per blade. Our German-engineered blades cost as little as $2. Big brands charge higher prices because they can. Harry's keeps you in mind, focusing on high quality at a fair price. So stop rinsing cash down the drain every morning. Get a great shave for a fraction of the price with Harry's. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/refresh. That's harrys.com/refresh.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So a museum is canceling an art exhibit?
I think this is one of those situations where you're trying to be sensitive and then you wind up just kind of being a jerk. But I don't know where you fall on this one. The Frick Museum in Pittsburgh was going to be doing a traditional Islamic art display. And they advertised it earlier last month, like a few days before the terror attacks in Israel. Mm-hmm. And then it was supposed to be going up in the next few days, and they have decided to not do it because of the tensions in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas. They didn't want to offend any Jewish community members. Now, there's a Jewish advocacy group there that's like, well, wait a minute, you're talking about stuff that was like way before Palestine and Israel and all of that really even blew up. So I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the optics, I suppose, and considering what's happened in that area in the past with the synagogue,
mm-hmm.
that you're just looking to stay away from controversy. I'm guessing. I mean, we're getting into mind reading why they did it.
Yeah.
But there would be some sort of backlash. I have no idea.
It just seems like there's more backlash now that they sort of called attention to it.
Yeah, than to go on with it.
Then to just
like, hey,
it.
This is something that had planned. We're going to go on with it.
You're talking about pieces that are like 1,000 years old that they'd be displaying.
People knee-jerk in these type of situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they just freak out and knee-jerk. We'll close it down.
Yeah, you're not sure what to do. You right. just kind of want it all to go away.
Right.
You sort of kind of, man, this is what we're about. Blah, yeah. blah,
you're
blah,
just
blah,
in the
blah,
backyard
blah.
Spinning in circles. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah I mean, I think I would see it more if they were saying, here's a group of pieces that are from Palestinian artists. I could kind of understand that a little bit more. But this strikes me as how a bunch of colleges and whatnot canceled performances by Russian composers after Russia invaded Ukraine.
Right.
It's like, well, wait a minute. One doesn't really have a lot to do with the other.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make the argument, if you want to stay away from the controversy by canceling it, then probably nothing will happen. But if I had to put a percentage on the threat to that place, it probably, if anything, went higher than lower
yeah.
after canceling that. Someone would say, that's Islamophobia.
Right.
No. You know what, man? You ask somebody, do you have any sort of fear of Muslim extremists making an attack in the United States? What would you say?
Yes.
Do you have any fear of a Jewish group making an attack in the United States?
No.
A Hindu group?
No.
Is that Islamophobia or is that common sense?
That's the reality.
Yes, that's what it is. People need to just tell the truth. This is the Mark Van Camp and Robin Show.
Van Camp and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So, with this war going on with Israel and Hamas and everything we've seen in the United States over the last several weeks. If you have the question, well, how is legacy media treating this? Well, we've seen it unfold. And it's kind of encapsulated with a report from Miguel Armiguer from NBC.
Hey. Miguel.
A favorite from this show.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just let him take it from here.
U.S. officials warn of a significant increase in threats against Jewish and Muslim communities nationwide.
For our democracy to function, we must...
You know who that is, who they go to.
That's Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Old Shaky's at it. Here we go.
Democracy to function, we must all be protected in our right to live free from hate-fueled violence and the threat of violence.
Yeah. That's right, Merrick. Like the way you investigated the firebombing of that pro-life pregnancy center in Buffalo. Oh, wait, you didn't. The FBI didn't look into that. That's right. No. Anyway, go ahead, Miguel.
It comes amid growing concern over violence and safety at universities across the country.
It's heartbreaking. I don't feel safe on campus.
Known for its history rooted in demonstration, tonight it's leadership at the University of California making headlines.
Yeah. Did you hear about this controversy, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay, let it play. We'll just get your reaction.
After the university president issued a statement calling the Hamas attack an act of terrorism, a group of 300 faculty members demanded school officials retract its charges of terrorism to uplift the Palestinian freedom struggle.
Whoa.
Take it back. When you said that was an act of terrorism, no, it's not. 300 faculty demand.
Well, I just look at this as 300 people who need to suit up and join the fight then in Gaza.
We could start the GoFundMe.
I'm amazed by the number of faculty members.
Isn't it?
I always am.
It's wild, man. There is a sane person in this.
But Monday, UC Regent Jay Serez, who's also vice chairman of United Talent Agency, called the counter letter appalling and repugnant, adding it seeks to legitimize and defend the horrific savagery of the Hamas massacre.
Yeah. He's got some death threats. Oh, yeah.
It'll never cease to be amazing to me how the same people who talk about microaggressions all the time and how
yes.
words are violence are yeah. like, Yeah, but that violence was speech.
Right. It's all different now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to be a swastika would shut a school down.
Yeah.
And now it's, well, it's freedom of speech. What?
Yeah.
What happened to you people?
Is it 2015 or 2016? The University of Missouri partially shut down because somebody said they found a swastika on a bathroom stall somewhere, and no one ever really corroborated that.
Nope.
But they demanded that the president of the university resign.
Yes.
They had the mass protests. We all learned that redheaded professor's name.
Yes.
Glick.
Whatever it was.
Who was kicking out a journalist out of the protest. You're being violent.
But again, it goes back to threats both sides. Again,
hate crimes against Jews and Muslims are both on the rise nationwide.
Again,
where's the receipts?
Where are the receipts? I agree with you. I yell that at the TV.
Where's if your there evidence? Is, I just want to know.
Is there a boatload of evidence out there that this is happening? Because you're equating the two.
We see it against Jews.
Yeah.
No. They just, you know, I wanted to bring that in just for Miguel's delivery. There's a lot of passion in that, even when he says where he's from.
Tonight, a war overseas and clashes here at home. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles. Tonight, a war.
Yes. There you go. Okay. Moving on then. Well, you've got audio of an activist. What's this story, David?
Yeah, there's a group called Facts for Peace. They put out a pretty cool video. This dude walks around circulating a petition to try to get people to support Hamas's fight for Palestinian freedom, but then he tells them what that actually means. And you start to see one of the biggest problems in America right now with this current discourse is just a lot of people have been programmed to believe one thing without actually understanding what's at stake.
Roll it.
Doing a quick petition to help Hamas free Palestine. You're all in? All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're in?
Jesus.
I just have to read terms and conditions just so you know what you're signing.
Okay.
By supporting Hamas freeing Palestine, you agree to the following. You agree that every Jew, Christian, and non-Muslim in the world must be slaughtered.
I don't know about that one.
You endorse making homosexuality punishable by jail or death.
What? I'm sorry.
Not interested.
Hold on. What? Yeah. She says,
yeah.
Huh? Oh, you don't know that, you say.
By jail or death?
What? I'm sorry.
Not interested? Oh, okay.
So if I sign, I agree with this.
Yes.
Maybe no.
No? Okay.
Oh, no. Thank you.
No.
I don't support any of these two things that you just read to me. So
okay.
I won't be able to sign this, though.
That's fair. Yeah, no, thanks for not signing. Yeah. All right.
Wow. That's awesome. They're dopes. They don't know what they're doing, a lot of them.
No. And again,
I've made the point before. When I'm younger, save the whales! Greenpeace, come on! Join the movement!
I mean, the one difference is that, for the most part, whales are not chopping people's heads off.
I have made that point before. I'm like, yeah, that young people do those sorts of things. I'm not saying that some don't still believe in the same stuff, but usually you're like, wait a second, there's a lot more to this story that I didn't know about, and you learn about it. But, man, it also goes to the point, you know, college students, for the most part, are not all that wise when it comes to the world. They're dopes.
Well, they get swept up in the cool kids club.
Sure.
I mean, that's what it is. They don't know. They don't even know what they're protesting. They're just protesting.
Well, you might have a certain belief system.
Right.
You go see one professor who tells you five or six different things, and all of a sudden you're holding signs. You have no idea what the real world is really like.
No.
But it seems like we as a society put a lot of stock in that. It's ridiculous. They're for what? Killing gay people? Yep. That's why the whole, you know, gays for Palestine? Really? You know what's going to happen in the end? Have you seen the end of the story?
Yes.
Probably not.
No.
Okay. The Trumpster's in the news, David?
Yeah, Donald Trump has a proposal having to do with higher education.
Really?
He laid it out in a video that he posted online.
Oh. Have you seen this, Scott?
Nope. Have not.
Okay. I'm all for it. Let's see what he's got. Roll it out.
We will take the billions and billions of dollars that we will collect by taxing, fining, and suing excessively large private university endowments, and we will then use that money to endow a new institution called the American Academy. Its mission will be to make a truly world-class education available to every American, free of charge. This will be a truly top-tier education option for the people. It will be strictly non-political, and there will be no wokeness or jihadism allowed. None of that's going to be allowed.
He had me at the, we're going to rob the universities blind, and you should. That should be part of the platform for anybody running for president. This is what we are going to try to do. This is a priority. Not guaranteeing it's ever going to happen, because let's be real here, it probably wouldn't happen.
No.
But that should be the goal. You know, you got your Harvards, your Yales, your Carnegie Mellons, even your University of Texas's and whatnot sitting on billions of dollars. And yet none of that seems to be really benefiting the students. So we need to rob them blind. But, you know, he loses me a little bit on the idea of just making another public education system, because we've seen what happened to the public education system we already have.
Yeah, I understand that. And listen, man, we've been through Trump a million times. And yeah, if you're looking for things to not like, you can find plenty of it. And we've all been ticked off at Trump at different times. And then you hear something like,
it will be strictly non-political and there will be no wokeness or jihadism allowed.
You're like, yes, that's my guy.
He's got a,
anyway.
Got a sign out front. No jihadism allowed.
It's a banner.
Yeah.
Across the campus.
Well, honestly, most people should agree with that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah,
you would think.
It would make sense, yes.
Okay.
But what kind of athletic team will they have? That's what we care about. What kind of football team are they going to put on the field, huh?
Oh, speaking of athletics real quick, probably should give this its due here.
In their 63rd season. It's happened! The Texas Rangers win the World Series!
And wouldn't you know it, the bandwagon guy, Scott Robbins, has got his Texas Rangers hat on today.
I've worn it before, though.
But yes.
You accused me of jinxing them when I wore it the last time.
Well, listen, man, we had calls from Atlanta fans. We had calls from other fans when you wore their hat and the team lost. So it was natural for people that are fans of the Rangers to be a little nervous when you were wearing the hat.
The curse is broken. I watched the whole game. It was a good game.
That's good, man.
It was good through six innings. They had a no-hitter. Mm. Arizona had a no-hitter going.
And so that's the first time they've ever been champs. And they're the only team, something else, and David brought this up, and I actually saw this headline. God rewards only team that doesn't have a pride night with World Series win. Thank you, Babylon B. Oh, is that going to trigger people?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, the Rangers are trying to fight the good fight against Major League Baseball, which hates you, Scott Robbins in particular. Hate your cats, hate your God, hate your worldview, hate your politics. Hates all your baseball caps, really hates your Funko Pops.
Right.
Oh,
I heard from a number of people last night.
Man, oh, man. And part of the story from the B said, Pride Night cometh before the fall, as they say. As a fake quote from Bruce Bochy, the manager. That's hilarious. But congratulations, Scott, to your bandwagon team.
There you go. Thank you.
No problem. Man, AI is becoming a huge problem in high schools. Big example straight ahead.
Our generation didn't wear bike helmets. We drank from the hose, rode in cars without seat belts, did things that are unthinkable today. But we're not invincible. These days we have doctor's appointments, multiple medications, and chronic conditions to manage. Fortunately, there's Teladoc Health. Teladoc Health brings together all of your healthcare into one program, including everything from primary care to chronic care management. Learn more at teladochealth.com. That's T-E-L-A-D-O-C health.com.
Do you hear that?
Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
The government's been spending money like there's no tomorrow, and we're all paying the price.
The cost of everything is still out of control. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and our dollars aren't going as far as they used to.
And to keep up, a lot of people are being forced to put everyday expenses on a credit card.
The longer that goes on, and the higher that balance goes, the tougher it is to pay back.
You have to take back control.
And if you're a homeowner, American Financing can help.
They're saving homeowners an average of $700 a month, even in this economy.
A free 10-minute call to their salary-based mortgage consultants is all it takes to get started and see how much you can save.
And if you start today, you can even delay two mortgage payments, stretching your savings further.
Call today, 866-890-7811.
That's 866-890-7811, or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
That's 866-890-7811, or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Man, being a parent is tough. There's no doubt about that. And it seems like every year brings some sort of new challenge that you didn't see before. Certainly with parents of kids in high school.
Yep.
I saw this in the Wall Street Journal. Fake nudes of real students cause an uproar at a New Jersey high school.
Whoa.
Boys shared fake pornographic images made of female classmates. Both the school and the local police began investigating. So that's the headline. Get into the story. And you know, I mean, Photoshop, stuff like that have been around for a long time. But now with the AI, you can make these realistic images. And that's what apparently some of these sophomore boys did and then shared it with each other. And then one boy told a girl, because there was a lot of whispering going on and girls were like, what is going on? Finally, one of the boys told one of the girls, all right, this is what's happening. And so then it got to some parents and then calls to the school. Police get involved, but still really don't know what's going to happen. Okay? Because the parents are saying, all right, our daughters are humiliated. They feel powerless. They worry about the damage that could be done for their future. These images could, you know, come out again online. The police said they haven't seen the images. And the school administrators, as far as their spokesperson, would not confirm that they had seen them. But it seems like didn't deny it either. You'd have to know it existed, right?
Yeah. Well, you either did or you didn't.
Well, I don't know how much they're trying to... I mean, legally, that's got to be a weird position to be in when they're fake images developed by AI, because was a crime actually committed? You know, if they're actual pictures that have been shared, then yes, there's clearly been a crime committed. There are a few different charges that you could bring against the person sending them, receiving them, who took them, etc. But if this is created by a computer, I don't know. And then, you know, is the school district just kind of like afraid of being sued if they confirm it? Because nobody really knows where we are with this legally.
Well, and then you get into child porn stuff. You don't know what's legal, what's not.
Right.
It says in the story, fake sexual images of real people are so new. Federal law is lagging. Handful of states, including Virginia, California, Minnesota, and New York, have outlawed the distribution of faked porn or given victims the right to sue its creators in civil court. You're probably going to see that more and more. But I don't know what you do.
Oh, man, it seemed like you couldn't just take somebody's image and attach it to something else, and it would be illegal, and it would be legal to do so.
Yeah, that's one of the things they're going to have to...
You know, do you have any rights at all about who you use as your likeness for what? I would think you would.
Yeah. And then they talk to the mayor. The mayor saying, well, when you see young girls traumatized at a vulnerable stage of their lives, it's hard to witness.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Talked to a mom, said her daughter is terrified, doesn't know what's going to happen in the future, and is just freaked out. There's a lot of different layers to this whole thing. But all the stuff with AI, that is not one that I had heard people fearing of. But now that it's here, you're like, oh, well, yeah, I guess you could probably see, you know, where that could happen.
Yeah.
Other news out there. Did you see the news on DoorDash? Looking to get some of their workers more tips?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You saw the story.
I did.
Okay, so the deal is basically this. If you're not going to tip, it may take longer to get your food as you're ordering it. Mm-hmm. Well, so you order it, it says no tip, might take longer. Are you sure you want to continue?
Well, that's extortion. Freaking extortion. It is.
I think it's letting the market decide, because if I'm an independent contractor and I think, well, this person's throwing me extra money and this person isn't, well, the person who's giving me money, I'm going to perform a better service for.
Well, yeah, but when you are out there advertising it as such.
Well, it says Dashers can choose which orders they want to do. I've had a couple of kids that have DoorDashed. And sometimes it might be a particular neighborhood. You're like, I don't know if that's safe. I'm going to see if someone else takes that one. Now it's up to tipping. We'll see where it goes. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Okay, biggest story today is...
Sorry, I'm just laughing at... That's extortion. That's extortion.
Oh, yeah, man. That's why I love Scott just being here. It's just stream of consciousness. Yeah. Let it go.
Hey, Tab,
a lot of
food.
People are thinking it.
Hey, Tab, that food take longer, wouldn't you?
So do you want a tip or not?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying it will, but hey, you know.
Well,
you're also
the same guy that if I order something without ketchup and ketchup's on it, and then I go say, hey, I want something different, you're like, well, they're going to spit on your food now.
Oh, you pissed him off now.
Well, what is that?
They don't say, if you order something without ketchup, we're going to spit on your food. They don't say right. that.
But you still fear it. Okay. There's so much more to get to today. The news update straight ahead right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, I'm the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, and the Texas Rangers hat, of course. Scott Robbins. Hey, you know this war, Russia, Ukraine, you have a certain idea of what's going on. We certainly know what legacy media has portrayed since the start of this war. Anybody see this piece in Time Magazine over the last week? Because David Sacks, is he the billionaire tech guy, smart guy, all in podcast? He wrote a piece about this, saying official Ukraine narratives collapse as Zelensky's inner circle admits to Time magazine that the war cannot be won militarily. This is a big story.
Yeah.
And so as he sets it up in the piece, says since the Russia-Ukraine war began over 20 months ago, Western media has constructed and dutifully hewn a series of narratives. Vladimir Zelensky is a war hero and resistance leader akin to Winston Churchill. Ukrainians are eager to volunteer for the war effort while Russians flee. More money and weapons are all the Ukrainians need to retake the territory Russia has annexed. The West's interests lie in helping them achieve that grand victory rather than in pushing for a ceasefire and negotiated settlement. Yeah, that's pretty much true. Said facts at odds with these narratives, such as that Ukraine has been taking unsustainable losses in combat, that we don't have enough artillery shells to adequately supply them, that the billions we've been sending to Ukraine are falling prey to corruption, have all been dismissed as Putin talking points.
Yeah.
Which is very true. Yep. So the critics who point them out are as attacked as Kremlin apologists. Which is why it's so extraordinary to read this week's cover story in Time magazine, because it validates many of the criticisms made by those supposed Putin apologists. Only now those criticisms are being voiced by Zelensky's own aides and advisors inside the presidential palace. Have you heard any of this?
A lot of
the media hasn't picked up much on it.
Not really. I mean, we've talked about it because if you look enough, you can find those stories where, I mean, it wasn't just a whim when a whole bunch of regional leaders got fired last year.
Right.
It was because they got caught skimming off the top.
Yes. The corruption's still there. You're just not supposed to talk about it because that gets in the way of the narrative. It says, you know, some of these things are spilling out, like Ukraine's war aims are unrealistic. Kyiv has long maintained that its definition of victory, namely the retaking of all Ukrainian territory, including Crimea, is achievable with Western arms and money. Now, a disastrous summer counteroffensive, which has resulted in horrific Ukrainian casualties, while reclaiming negligible amounts of territory, has Zelensky's advisors reconsidering whether those aims are realistic. But his belief, talking about Zelensky, in ultimate victory, said is just immovable. He sees himself as this guy now. And you go on and read this whole thing. We don't have time to go through all of it. But it really paints this picture that is completely unlike what we hear from legacy media. Like, you've got morale collapsing with the military. That even patriots don't want to die serving as cannon fodder for a doomed military strategy. Within the officer ranks, there is growing dissension bordering on mutiny. A close Zelensky aide complained to the writer of that Time piece, Simon Schuster, by the way, that some frontline commanders have begun refusing orders to advance even when they come directly from the office of the president. I'll just share with you this one. You need to retake the city of Khmelnytskyi, a strategic outpost in eastern Ukraine that's been under Russia control for almost 10 years. The answer came in the form of a question. With what?
Yeah.
Like, well, we can't. We don't have anything to take the city back. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go in there and get killed. It doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, you hear about that with all the casualties and still the corruption. It paints a really dark picture there. And it would be nice if we had an honest media that would tell people that. And that doesn't mean totally give up on the situation. You can figure out for yourself how you think we should handle the situation with Russia and Ukraine.
No, it's a fair question to ask,
but our people don't know what's really going on.
Right, it's a fair question to ask when taxpayer money's involved.
Sure.
As to where it's going, some sort of accountability.
Yeah.
Let me see the ledger. What's going on?
If you're...
Nobody knows anything. It's just that we need more money. We need more money. We need more money. This is true of anything the federal government's got their paws into for the most part.
Yeah.
Just throw money at stuff.
I know. This is just simple, small-town boy thinking coming out of me right now. But tell me why, when we're talking about more aid to Ukraine, because what was it, like, I don't know, 8-1, 10-1, talking about aid to Israel versus aid to Ukraine,
right,
in favor of Ukraine?
Yeah.
They're not getting another cent until we secure our southern border. Not getting anything. We've got to secure our southern border first in the United States. People are still coming in. We have who knows how many known gotaways, unknown gotaways. We don't know who's here. It's 8 million people in a couple of years. You got to secure that border or Ukraine's not getting another dime. What is so hard about that?
Well, nothing. Unless, of course, you don't want to secure the border.
Well, I know there are people on the left that don't want to secure the border.
From your own political
gain. But when you're Republicans, yeah, that vote on this stuff.
Well, I think because a lot of Republicans are... fundamentally, at least the mindset is the same way as they're identical to the people who talk about investing in black communities all over the country, where you really are just trying to not solve any problems or make any problems go away. You just want to make a lot of money off of highlighting the problem year after year after year. Right. You're not interested in solving it. There are a lot of Republicans who functionally are identical to that. They see the border as something that they can go and campaign on, but they're really not willing to rock the boat too much.
Need to vote them out. The border. Get them out. Terrible. All right, I know we got other stuff to get to. All right, another teacher strike. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, here you go. I mean, you just had the story where the state of Oregon is going to be extending their lack of interest in holding students accountable when it comes to their test scores. Like, yeah, okay, you're not proficient in reading, writing, you know, math, whatever, but you can still move up the grade. Oh, yeah, you can still graduate. That kind
it's like a participation trophy.
Yeah,
here's your letter.
As you graduated,
good for you.
Yeah, as long as you were in school, I don't know, 70% of the time or whatever, we'll give you that diploma. Well, now Portland schools, they're going to be closed through at least the weekend because of the first ever teacher strike that has happened. They want more money. KGW was at the scene of the protest and the picketing that was going on yesterday. And here's a little roundup of what they heard.
Okay.
Whose schools?
Our schools!
Whose schools?
No.
Our schools!
The strikes about the students.
Our meaning the teachers?
Yeah, they're not your schools. They're the community schools.
You gotta be joking me.
They're not getting the services that they need. They don't have the learning environment that they need to be successful in a lot of the buildings. And so that's what we're out here for, we're trying to get that for them.
We are sending a powerful message to PPS, to the city of Portland, to the state, that Portland communities won't settle for less than great public schools for all.
Well, see, that's where you're wrong, because a lot of people have been settling for less for a long time. Now, the district right now is offering about an 11% raise, 10.9% to be precise, over the next 3 years. The union wants an average pay increase of 23%. They're like 260 some odd million dollars apart.
Wow, man.
What do they think? They're Ford Motor Company striking against them? Come on.
I mean, this is after the story. I mean, this was even in the Washington Post, that homeschooling's gone up through the roof.
Oh, of course it has.
And not just since the pandemic, even in the years after, it still keeps going up. That's just another reason why.
I mean, you get paid on performance, don't you?
No.
I mean, it's everything in life is performance-based.
Not in that gig.
It's insanity.
It's not.
Performance sucks. We want more money.
Yes.
But where else does that happen?
But,
I mean,
right there in a teachers union. Absolutely.
But hey, Stan, sold three pairs of shoes. You need to sell 300. I know, but I need more money. Well, no.
Well, that sounds like capitalism. That's evil.
That's kind of what we are. That's what
according
we do.
According to those people. Oh, yeah.
Golly, man. It's just, I mean, if you could show me here, listen, look at what we've done. The test scores have gone up. The graduation rates have increased. The college placement has gone up. I mean, we're churning out Americans. These kids are going to ruin the world someday. They're prepared. Okay, I'll buy that argument. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't make it.
Gosh dang, man.
Saw this, Matthew Perry. A lot of people have been talking about Matthew Perry passing away this past weekend. Tributes all over the entertainment world, right? And then people wonder, what was it in the end? And talking about weeks before the toxicology report. But they did rule out it wasn't fentanyl or meth.
That's good.
So still not quite sure. And as far as all of the other tabloid stuff, I don't really want to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, he was with this woman the night before. You know, people trying to read into stuff. I don't know, man. I mean, it's really something, dude. I mean, tragic in a way that he just could not get beyond it. And I'm not even saying that's what was the cause of death, was some sort of overdose. We don't know. But just the ongoing struggle that he had for years and all the stints in rehab, different types of rehab.
Well, a couple of things that strike me was when I first texted you guys about it, the response was, what happened? And I said he was found drowned in a hot tub. And I think both of you kind of at the same time said that's really, a lot of people die in those things, and because they're boozing in them, or they're, you know, after they have this strenuous workout, they get in them, and, you know.
Well, I think one of you guys had mentioned he had played pickleball or something.
Yeah, he had been. Yeah, like an hour and a half of pickleball.
And I don't even know. Was that 2-on-2 or 1-on-1?
I think it was 1-on-1.
The difference in heart rate is massive.
I think it was 1-on-1 playing with somebody else, yeah.
So, yeah, high heart rate, hot tub. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
Right, I know, but you both said that to me, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I'd not heard that before. So.
Well, dude, and listen, I'm not going with it's tied into anything with any vax, because I don't even know if he was vaxxed or not. but you knew people were going to wonder about that because the death rate has gone up in certain demographics, and not just in this country, but all over the world. And people are scratching their head trying to figure it out, and a lot of people wonder, does it have something to do with the vaccine?
I was also amazed at his net worth. I had no idea.
What was the net worth?
Several hundred million dollars.
Wow.
I mean, like, there was like $20, $30 million a year in residuals from friends.
Oh, that's right, man.
You have to work another day in your life. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
one other stat I wanted to get to, just to see if you're along with me on this ride. Did you see the stat where the average parent calls their own parent twice a week for guidance on how to parent? Okay, I'm just saying it because it does not, it doesn't get into specifics in the story that I read about it. That's ladies. That ain't dudes. High percentage. Got to be, right?
I would think, but I'm probably wrong.
Anecdotally, I don't know a whole lot of guys that called dad twice a week to say, hey, what would you do here with this?
I think we already know.
Right.
But I have seen plenty of ladies call mom on different things. And it's sniffles. It's this. It's that. Just a guess.
Yeah.
They didn't put it down into demographics. You know. So, anyway, twice a week. Well, depending on what's going on. I've just never seen it with dudes. Could be wrong. You can hit Robbins up on Facebook.
I call my mom at least twice a week, but it's not for parenting.
Half of Democrats support a ban on handguns. You see that? Get to that next.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use a symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I've been taking Nutrafol for about a year.
I've been taking Nutrafol for over 4.5 years.
My hair was thinning.
I just gave birth. I was under a lot of stress.
I like Nutrafol because it's drug-free and the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement.
My hair feels thicker.
Stronger. The breakage is less.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You may not be required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-330-2100. 800-330-2100. That's 800-330-2100.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. You have stats on support of ban or a ban on handguns?
Yeah, well, we keep hearing about more and more, especially after the tragedy that occurred in Maine about gun control, common sense gun control. Nobody wants to take your personal protection away is what a lot of Democrat lawmakers will say. We just need to ban these weapons of war.
Mm-hmm.
Although we all know that's a lie. Gallup has published an update to its polling on gun control. They've done this every year for a few decades now, specifically about handguns in the United States. Overall, only 27% of Americans support a ban on handguns. But when you look at party affiliation, that number jumps to 49% of Democrats. Only 26% of independents feel the same way. 6% of Republicans feel the same.
Okay, as we've seen with a number of stories today, there are a lot of people that are misinformed on a number of different things. for the people that say, yeah, I want to see the ban on handguns, do you think they understand what will happen if that were to ever happen?
Well, no.
That would be my guess.
I'm not even sure what they're banning most of the time.
What they're trying to ban?
Yeah, what they're trying to ban. The AR and weapon of war. And
yeah, they don't know what they want to ban.
If you shoot it at an animal, you would just blow it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's all this misinformation out there. And I'm not a gun guy. I listen to you guys talk about it. But it's like I look at it and think, well, if I'm just Joe Average and I'm listening to this, I'm thinking these ARs would, if you shot a cow in a field, it would blow it up.
that's what they actually say.
But that's how you feel, right? Just as someone who doesn't know that you're going, well, why would somebody want a gun like that? I mean, you can't understand it.
Again, man. Yeah, it's really something as far as the misinformation that's out there. There's one story I want to hit real quick. More for you than anybody, Scott, because you played all of this music throughout the 80s. Did you see what's going to be a Broadway musical?
No.
It's a raucous rom-com about a couple of 30-somethings who know exactly what they want from life until they find each other. And it's based on the music of Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, what? Huey Lewis and the News, really? Yeah, Huey says, I've always been a storyteller, and it's a thrill to see my songs woven together in service of a fantastic new story.
Recognize.
So you're all about it.
The power of Huey.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Get them in a big room, an auditorium, whatever, and just ask the question. Hey, if you can stay sober, right, for 2 months, we're going to let you paint some pictures. I don't care how crappy they are. People are going to pay $500,000 for them. I bet we're going to get people sober in a heartbeat. Maybe you could fund it, Hunter, with all that cash. Anyway, sorry.
One day at a time, and we need to get honest with ourselves and the people who love and rely upon us. The effort is worth it. You are worth it. I am living proof of that. Thus says Hunter Biden. You know, I forget the guy's name now, the inspiration for the Wolf of Wall Street.
I forget the dude's name.
That guy who did the interview on Fox about it. And he put it very bluntly. He goes, I don't know if Hunter's sober, and I hope he is. But the thing is most of us who have been in recovery and have recovered from or are in recovery from a drug addiction, what really pushed us to get sober were devastating consequences. Something happened. There's a rock bottom moment.
Yeah.
What has Hunter Biden actually lost?
That's a great question. The ability to hook up with hookers and do a bunch of blow?
I mean, I'm not saying that, assuming he is sober, I'm not saying that that was easy. I'm sure it was really hard. I'm sure it was hell. And I'm sure there have been personal things in his life that were devastating, but usually you're talking about somebody who's like sleeping in a ditch or going to jail.
Some would argue that's why it took so long for a guy like that.
Allowed to do it.
Yeah.
No consequence.
Oh, to your point, I'm sure it was hard. I mean, dude, you see those pictures of his teeth from meth mouth? Oh, my goodness. It's terrible. I'm sure he went through hell. But this whole thing now, anytime you bring up any, you know, sort of me gallivanting around the world and selling my dad's position and getting rich off it, you're, you know, going after addicts. I mean, that's disgusting, man. Yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm sure he's not.
I don't know. I personally think that both of you need to be doing that. Anytime someone's critical of you, you're saying you realize it's making it harder for alcoholics to get sober.
That's right.
It'd be hilarious, but I don't think I could bring myself to do it.
No. I have a soul left.
Okay. All right. That might be the funniest story of the day and at the same time the most disgusting. And that's saying something.
He does need a boot in his fanny, though. He does.
Oh.
In the worst way.
Okay.
He used to pay extra for that, though.
You know, here's the thing, man.
You keep the boot, too.
The dimwits on The View.
Yeah.
They're going to use that as a talking point.
Of course. They already have.
I'm sure they probably have.
He's just a dad who's concerned about his people in this country have addicts for children, and this is, you know, this is what you hear.
Good night.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Oh, updates on your girl. I'm talking to both of you guys, by the way. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, what about her?
A couple of Swifties here. All right, this is getting ridiculous. Not just with the coverage and people having to see her, whether she's at the game or not,
right,
and all the reporting on it. It does get to this crazy part where tabloids are following them all over the place. And the big criticism now is they were home on Halloween night at Travis Kelce's home at Gated Community, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't welcome trick-or-treaters. They weren't answering the door. Okay? Blocked off with police tape. And there was a security guard outside telling kids, quote, sorry, nobody's home today. But people knew they were lying because they could see lights going on inside the house. Oh, yeah. One mom ticked off, said they're not handing out candy. You believe that? Well, we know they're lying. Swiftie is here. And she was. She had flown into Kansas City on Monday and then left after Halloween. I'm telling you, man, this could very well rip the old team apart. You see this all the time. One of the players starts dating, you know, some pop star, and then the tabloids are following him everywhere. The other players get sick and tired of the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Well, they lost to the Broncos last week. I mean, it's already starting.
Yeah, that was bad news.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Scored 9 points.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're going to keep this up as long as they're dating.
Well, sure. I mean,
it won't take long. We're going to have to start putting bets on how long this thing's going to last. Do you have any ideas? Did anybody going really short this on this?
It's months, tops.
What are you saying?
How long has it been now? What, 2 months?
A few months, yeah. You think it sees April next year?
No.
You're saying no April?
There's no way.
You saying March?
She's got an album to do. She's going to have to get working on and writing.
We'll see what happens if they go to the Super Bowl and or win the Super Bowl. But if they don't, Travis Kelce is going to wind up retiring and then also coming out of the closet, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
That's going to be part of the breakup. It was a friendly breakup. But Taylor helped show him his true self.
Oh, goodness.
Very few have improved their careers after dating her.
I'll say it now. They stay together through March if you want that butt. You want it or not?
No.
You can think about
it. I'll take it.
You'll say, all right, yeah, it's on.
I want it.
It's on. All right, we got news update straight ahead.
The brain is unpredictable. Sometimes it works with you, and sometimes it gives you a hard time. But one thing's for sure. Getting your thoughts out is therapeutic. If you keep them bottled up, you can get exhausted, overwhelmed, or prone to outbursts. When you talk to a BetterHelp therapist, you can just say what's on your mind. In fact, the more honest you are about your thoughts, the better your therapist can help you sort out what's most important. And that makes you a better parent, friend, colleague, you name it. Life doesn't owe us any favors, but finding happiness doesn't have to feel impossible. With BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist who shares your values. And it's easy to switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Plus, you can schedule appointments that are convenient to your schedule. Give it a try and say whatever's on your mind with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/motivate today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/motivate.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use a symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I've been taking Nutrafol for about a year.
I've been taking Nutrafol for over 4.5 years.
My hair was thinning.
I just gave birth. I was under a lot of stress.
I like Nutrafol because it's drug-free and the #1 dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement.
My hair feels thicker,
stronger.
The breakage is less.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, before we get to a news update, there's a couple of bets that we're going to know who wins shortly by November 17th. Joe Biden will still be president. This bet was made, I think, a year and a half ago. It's just come and due. Robin said, yes, he will. And David said, no, he wouldn't. It's like,
well, we got a few days left.
I think Robin's going to win this one.
And another one, he's going to win in one from me, that Kamala would still be the vice president for the next election. Now we got some time. I said no, Robbins, you said yes. And another one for the 2024 election, David, you said Kim Kardashian would run for president. Yeah. You already lost a bet on her for becoming a lawyer.
Yeah.
This was a $10 bet.
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago, wasn't it?
I think so. That's why you keep track. And then after the McCarthy will become speaker again bet that you made, David, you're down 55 to me.
Boy, they really just, the Republicans really screwed me on that one.
Yeah. Scott, you only owe me 50. And you only owe David 10. So that's, we're all square now. Okay. News update?
I think this is kind of funny, and you know, mentioned Speaker of the House. Mike Johnson, of course, is the Speaker of the House now. And
he's dangerous.
Well,
he's a Christian.
We've been told that. Yes, he's a very dangerous individual, and he's poor. Who let the poor guy in the house?
Yeah,
was it Rolling Stone that, or Daily Beast, had that story that apparently he's not fabulously rich like a normal Speaker of the House, and that's bad. Apparently, I don't really understand that, but whatever. They're grasping at straws. Now, one of the things that was. And I was frustrated with the lack of getting their act together a couple weeks ago with the whole Speaker of the House debacle with the Republicans.
Yeah.
I still rolled my eyes when people said, well, this is going to hurt people's or Republicans' chances in 2024. I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
Never remember.
I think it's embarrassing, and I think it's also just frustrating because real stuff happened, obviously, in Israel on October 7th, and the Republicans in the House couldn't get their stuff together. That's frustrating. But now Gallup has a new tracking poll. Approval of congressional Republicans unchanged from when Kevin McCarthy was still Speaker of the House. It's not good, by the way. It's 40% approval of congressional Republicans, but that's exactly where it was before all of that happened.
Well, that's a lot of times legacy media talking about things that regular people don't care that much about. At least that's what it seems to me. Wow. You know, one of the clips that we had from yesterday's show that was actually from Rogan's show with Elon Musk, and he was talking about ventilators, and it did more damage than good.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different stories out there about that. And that at times they knew because the ventilators, this is what people are saying. We're going to protect people in the hospital, not so much the patient. And they knew that it was like, wow, there's a high percentage of people dying that get put on a ventilator. And Musk talked about how early on in the pandemic, he talked to people in Wuhan about mistakes that were made. Listen to this.
Well, 80% of the people they put on ventilators died.
Yeah. So, in fact, I actually posted about that because I called doctors in Wuhan and said, what are the biggest mistakes that you made on the first wave? Those were early on. And they said, we put far too many people on intubated ventilators. So then I actually posted on Twitter at the time and said, hey, what I'm hearing from Wuhan is that they made a big mistake in putting people on intubated ventilators for an extended period.
Yep.
And that this is actually what is damaging the lungs, not COVID. It's the treatment. The cure is worse than the disease. And people yelled at me and said, I'm not a doctor. I'm like, yeah, but I do make spaceships with life support systems. What do you do?
I like that.
I twiddle knobs. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Rock on.
I had the same. I was just laughing.
That's funny.
I
twiddle knobs. Rock on. That's awesome.
Had you heard much about that before?
No, first time ever, actually.
Well, not the first time ever, because
for me it is.
No, we talked about it.
I don't remember talking about it. Frying lungs?
Yeah, we talked about it in 2020, because there were doctors saying maybe. Worried about this. They got shouted down quickly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the truth is going to come out at some point. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. Okay, if there's one big story today, it would be...
I suppose nobody really knows what the White House's stance is in terms of the ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. And to me, I think the only response they need to give is there was a ceasefire literally in place on October 6th. One side decided to violate the terms of that ceasefire.
Yes.
Why?
But media is not going to run with that.
So why in the world would the side that was victimized by it say, rush into another ceasefire? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not. But again, you have so many people that don't want sense to be made. They just want to go with their talking points. We'll get to that. And the Scott Robbins trifecta straight ahead. Scott Robbins, John Kirby. I always forget his title. Spokesperson.
He's a spokesman. I mean, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
He's the guy they call upon when old, you know, donkey kicked to the head as a child, Karine Jean-Pierre, is out of her depth.
They'll never say that.
No.
It's a wonder he's not out there every day, then.
Well, when it gets hot like it is right now. So, a few... Q&A from today, because trying to figure out, Biden told Israel to pause it? That's what he wants? What about some of these other things that are going on right here?
People in this country making violent anti-Semitic threats, are they domestic terrorists?
Good question from the deuce. Okay.
I don't know that we're classifying people as domestic terrorists for that. I mean, that's really a question better left to law enforcement. I'm not aware that there's been such a characterization of that.
But threats against some people, we take that very seriously. Against others,
MAGA extremists.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's different. Okay, one more. Go ahead.
Every time they want to address U.S. support to Israel, the White House pivots to Islamophobia.
Ooh.
Is that an accurate assessment? How would you respond to that?
I'll let them speak to their opinion of our work. I can tell you that this strategy is born from a genuine desire to go after the kind of hate in America that could lead to real threats of violence against real people. Our fellow citizens who are of the Muslim faith or in the Arab community and Palestinian community, I mean, that comes from a genuine instinctual place for the president and for the vice president.
Okay, even a crap slinger like Kirby can't sling that out there because he knows it's full of garbage. By the way, and I mention this all the time, that six-year-old kid in Illinois... He got killed by the nut. We certainly recognize that. I'm asking outside of that, when he talks about real people, credible threats, it's Muslims, Arab community. What threats? I know the threats against Jewish people. You've seen it all over the place. There's like proof of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they may cite like hate mail or whatever, and certainly that's totally out of bounds and inappropriate, but... It's not the same as having tenured professors at elite universities celebrating people parachuting into a music festival and killing a bunch of Jews.
Well, that's completely different.
Right.
People
are recognizing the disconnect. And I think you were right, David, when you had Muslim groups threaten Biden were going to withdraw support. If you don't call for the ceasefire, this is his way. Well, it's the calling for the pause now. That's part of it.
Yeah.
And another part is having Kamala go out and do what she did yesterday and slew all of that nonsense.
Our nation was founded on the fundamental principle that all people should have the freedom to live, to worship, and to be without fear of violence or persecution.
She should have stopped there.
Every person has the right to live safe from violence, hate, and bigotry.
All of that. And then what does she end up getting to?
You know where this is going.
Yes. Well, we had it earlier. I mean, that's the longer version of the clip. Mm-hmm. But what she actually, you know, gets right down to, what she's talking about, was this.
For years, Muslims in America and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. As a result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, we have seen an uptick in anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic incidents.
I'm still blown away by that.
I know.
And again, David, if you're talking about, okay, there's been mail, whatever it might be, you would produce it, would you not?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Council on Islamic Relations, whatever, CARE, that group, said that they've had reports of people having someone say something rude to them on the street. But there hasn't really been any documentation to back any of that up.
And look at the history of that group.
Right. Well, I mean, they're also the ones, among other organizations, that pushed so many other hoaxes in New York, right?
Yep.
There was this group of MAGA bros who ripped off this young girl's hijab.
Oh, right.
Only it turned out that's not true. She broke curfew at her house and didn't want to get in trouble with her parents, and so she lied about it. Was it Michigan State, where allegedly some MAGA bros had done the same thing, taken some girl's hijab, and there was no evidence that it ever happened? It was a hoax.
Correct.
So, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure there's been a lot of MAGA bros that show up in Chicago in the dead of winter.
Right.
They take out anybody they can.
Right.
We know that.
And
while they're in front of a subway.
Yeah, and
of course.
And as far as the Joe Biden talking about convincing Benjamin Netanyahu to have a pause in their counteroffensive against Hamas, John Kirby has said, no, we're not calling for a ceasefire.
So it was clean up on aisle Joe
yes,
again.
Yes, it was.
So I figured, but boy, that didn't stop media from running with that.
No.
Calling for a pause.
Right. It still blows my mind because, listen, you don't have to, or if you want to be, you know, willfully ignorant and pretend like the president isn't senile, that's fine. But you also have many, many examples in the last 3 years of him saying something just to sort of, like, make a problem go away in the moment.
Yes.
And not meaning it.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, we could go example after example. No doubt about it. But I know we got to get to the trifecta, Scott. You ready to go? Mm-hmm. Get big three. Let's roll.
Are you ready?
One, two.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day about this time, Scott Robbins' trifecta, his top three stories of the day, always helps. By his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Well, another World Series has gone by the boards. No Casey. Put extra pizza.
I miss
in.
You.
No, you don't. You liar. I put extra pizza
I'm
in
ready.
Last night. You didn't show up.
Gotcha. Three.
No. Number three. I don't know why you do this to yourself, Scott. Both your relationship with Casey Kasem and then also your weird relationship with former Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger and Stephen Colbert, and the two joined forces last night, you're telling me.
God, you talk what? About, yeah, I mean, yes, they did. The two most insufferable people on the planet. It's like they're Marvel Comics, like the Insufferables. They got together to fight sanity. They, on the Stephen Colbert show last night, so he's on there. little Adam is with the insufferable Colbert. And I'm thinking to myself, hell. We talk about hell. What does hell look like?
Oh, hold on a second. I got to know this before you go on. Did you watch this?
I watched some of it, enough of it to know.
Like in real time?
Some of it in real time and some of it this morning when I got up.
Oh, time out. What are you doing putting
well,
on Colbert?
I was up,
you're
I
supposed
was up
to relax
later
at night.
And I was watching the World Series and I flipped it on and that, there you go.
And then you kept watching it.
I watched for a little while. Yeah.
You survived the heart attacks. This isn't good for your health.
Okay. I did my best, you know?
Okay, so you watched it.
I tried to buffer it.
All right.
Hell just might be a small, extremely, very hot room with 100 televisions mounted on the walls and this interview on a nonstop loop for the rest of eternity, the rest of your life. You're in this room and you're watching Stephen Colbert and Adam Kinzinger together. That's why you need to get right with Jesus. That's why you need to go to church this Sunday.
Why did you choose this hell last night? That's what I don't understand.
I was drawn to it like a fly to a light. I just couldn't turn away.
Once now, on with the countdown.
Yes.
All right. Scott Robbins trifecta, top three.
Two. Yeah.
Number two, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, is happy to announce that residents may be able to keep their cars from getting stolen or at least find them after they've been stolen.
Yeah. Remember early last month, a member of Congress was a carjacking victim.
Oh, yeah.
And so it brought new light to the carjacking vehicle problem in Washington, D.C.
It was a real steal.
Yeah, it was too, Casey. Thank you for that. There were more than twice as many carjackings in September of 2023 as in 22. Comparing the past week, D.C. police reports nearly seven times as many as the same week last year. So we got a problem. We need someone to solve it. Muriel Bowser, the D.C. mayor, steps into the void. She's seen enough, too. Sort of. Now, you might not have your car, but you will be able to visit your car on the phone. Today, she made an announcement on a pilot program to provide D.C. residents with free digital tracking tags for their vehicles. She said, we'll continue to use all the tools we have and add new tools to keep our city safe. Call me crazy here, but I think there might be a better solution. Hear me out now. We could put people who commit crimes, I don't know, in prison. You can track your stolen car. Now you know where it is after it's been stolen. Shoot up a rocket. That'll stop things.
The other girl had carjacked. She'd been arrested seven times.
Seven times. And when, last time she was arrested and let out, 2 days later, her and her girl gang got together and carjacked a few more.
Wow.
Bad girls.
What you gonna do, Casey?
And the countdown continues.
Oh, yes, the Scott Robbins trifecta.
And finally, one.
Number one, former Arizona Cardinals executive, brother of the owner of the team, got beat up by his wife.
Yeah, former Arizona Cardinals executive and brother of the current owner, Michael Bidwell, was seen covered in blood after being struck 100 times.
Oh my God.
By his wife during a domestic incident at their home. Bidwell was found by authorities outside his home in Paradise Valley, Arizona. He was bleeding all over the place after the altercation from his wife, Nicole. He said it began because she was unhappy that he was not home during carpet installation. You bastard! They're installing the carpet. You weren't even here! He said, I'm sitting on the couch and she's just screaming at me. He said, and I'm trying not to escalate things because, well, she has a bad temper, he said. And then she started hitting me. I just started defending myself. I put my hands up. Bidwell said he was struck in the head with a glass of beer that burst all over the place.
Oh, man.
He also mentioned she hit him with something else. He's not even sure what it was. Struck him upon the head and abdomen area. He went on to say he tried to leave the house, but his wife was grabbing him by the shirt and wouldn't let him go. He admitted striking her arms to get her off of him. So the officer is questioning him about this. He's going to arrest her at the home, a domestic violence situation. The assault charge was based on the story he gave. Bidwell, however, didn't want his wife going to jail because, well, he said, quoting, she's not going to tolerate going to jail very well. You take me instead.
Oh, man.
And now,
wow.
I know it couldn't have been easy.
Well, no.
No, you're married to a nut. probably a drunken nut on top of it.
Could be.
This escalates to getting hit in the head with a beer glass.
I've heard these stories before. Like, different. It could be anybody. Just anecdotally, a couple of athletes that were actually beaten up a number of times by their wife. But they would not want her to be arrested.
Do you see these red flags before you marry her?
I would guess you would.
Possible? I would think. Yeah. Perhaps. Maybe.
You never know, but you would think so.
You would think it's also, well, she's passionate.
Well,
yeah, that's. Yeah, you're going to roll with a lady like that, you know? Yeah. You just got to expect a beating every now and again.
You buy the ticket, take the ride, you know?
No, well, golly, once you get slugged once.
You know, this guy comes home from work. He's sitting on the couch. The carpet installers were there. He doesn't give one fat frog's fanny about the carpet. That's always up there. Do what you want. I'll whatever.
Yeah.
And she won't have it because he got home late and he wasn't able to help with the installation of the carpet.
And there you have it.
This guy Robin's trifecta, top three of the day.
It's not like he went out and bought a Maserati that's sitting in the driveway without telling her or, you know. Freaking carpet. Damn.
All I was going to say, but then it sounds like I'm defending this woman. I don't know what agreement they had, but whatever it is, it doesn't deserve the beating, that's for sure. No. Wow. Okay.
It's really been an honor for me.
All right, we got to get to a news update, and Nimrod's in the news straight ahead.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
The brain is unpredictable. Sometimes it works with you, and sometimes it gives you a hard time. But one thing's for sure, getting your thoughts out is therapeutic. If you keep them bottled up, you can get exhausted, overwhelmed, or prone to outbursts. When you talk to a BetterHelp therapist, you can just say what's on your mind. In fact, the more honest you are about your thoughts, the better your therapist can help you sort out what's most important. And that makes you a better parent, friend, colleague, you name it. Life doesn't owe us any favors, but finding happiness doesn't have to feel impossible. With BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist who shares your values. And it's easy to switch therapists anytime, for no additional charge. Plus, you can schedule appointments that are convenient to your schedule. Give it a try, and say whatever's on your mind, with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/motivate today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/motivate.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use a symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Okay, so we had some cleanup on Isle Joe today because Joe Biden said that he had talked about a pause in the counteroffensive with Israel's war against Hamas and in order to bring in humanitarian aid and whatnot. Well, the White House has now come out and said, you know, Joe's senile. Come on. He didn't mean that. However, one of Scott's favorite, Illinois Democrat Senator Dick Durbin.
Oh, God.
Says, hey, maybe we do need to talk about a pause here, okay? Maybe we do need to talk about a ceasefire.
Which means what?
Which means nobody believes in anything in that
no,
world. They're all reacting to polling.
And it is, and I'll admit, it's quite a trick. If you're at the head of the Democratic Party trying to keep this coalition together, of all the nut jobs that you got to deal with, and they're making demands, and you're, you know, trying to tiptoe around everything,
I mean, if you just stand on your principles, it's a lot easier.
Well, it's exhausting, the whole tiptoeing thing. It's got to be.
Well, that's how we see what's going on in the country. And then their big concern today is Islamophobia.
Right.
I mean, it kind of tells you the whole game, doesn't it?
Durbin.
Hilarious. All right, we got to get the Nimrod rolling.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrods in the News. Well, this is definitely not the way to go about it. With trick-or-treaters, I don't understand it. This 43-year-old guy, Daniel Graham, arrested in Raleigh, North Carolina, after pointing a gun at some trick-or-treaters.
Oh, no.
And no reports of teenagers pranking him, anything like that. It was just kids looking for candy. And it does sound like Daniel had been doing some drinking.
Ah, yeah.
Neighbor heard him yelling profanities at the kids. Says he smacked a bucket of candy out of a six-year-old's hand. Candy scattered all over the place. Monster. So he is arrested. Should be. And that's Nimrods at the News.